You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Humanitarian Radio. I am Janie Beauclair.
And I'm Tony St. Tone.
And hey, we're welcoming our friends and our family. And if you are a first-time listener to our show, we're happy to have you. We are a feel-good show shouting out some good news from around the world. And you can expect some great positive music by St. Tone, as well as some great innovative guests every week. And see what's going on around the USA with our events calendar.
So this week's guest is Jessica Kulatu. She is a certified master hypnotherapist, and she runs a company called Hypnotherapy LA. You're really going to learn a lot about hypnotherapy and how it can really help you in everyday life and everyday decisions and different fears that you might have. It's a great interview. I can't wait for you guys to hear it. So let's talk about what we did this week.
Yes, we were in San Diego with one of our favorite people you've heard on here many times, Sherry Watson from The Power of Purpose. And she did a three-day seminar teaching people who are looking to start nonprofits to help society in a variety of ways exactly how easy it is to do that.
Yeah, she had some awesome, awesome guest speakers talking about where the money comes from, how to receive different donations. And they're one of the only companies out there that can receive properties as a nonprofit. People that have real estate, if it's a building, an apartment, they said someone just recently donated a 20,000 square foot school.
Private school that had closed, yeah.
That had closed on 9 acres of land and donated it to them.
And they donated it. For the purpose of rehabbing women veterans who are out of a job.
Yeah.
So a nonprofit is going to be teaching women veterans a variety of different skills in order to get them back into society, and they're going to be doing that at this school in Kentucky. It's a beautiful thing.
It's an awesome thing. So.
I think what was so exciting about being there was seeing, and there was about 150 people there taking her class. And I talked to probably just about everybody because we told everybody about Humanitarian Radio, and we want to offer them, of course, to talk about what they're starting as a nonprofit on the radio show and allow all you guys to be aware. But that being said, there are so many cool things that people are doing out there to help the homeless and help veterans and help children and help the elderly. I mean, the list went on for 150 people worth of great things that people are taking upon themselves and really giving back now.
Absolutely, yeah. Some really cool things going on. And that's what really is so cool about nonprofits is that there's so many different segments of the population that needs help, and there's so many people out there doing some great things. So
totally. So we want to commend Sherry Watson and her group for continuing the mission of starting 10,000 nonprofits in 2016, and we look forward to working with her more on our own.
Yeah, like with our nonprofit, spiritofmusicfoundation.org. So definitely be sure to check that out also. So I wanted to quickly tell you about an event that's going on Saturday, March 26th in La Jolla, California. Kiyoshi is a hip-hop artist, and he has a song called I Am Love. And they're doing a video release viewing concert with epic dance party, fire spinning. It's going to be a great event, and it's featuring Krista Richards, who's also a singer on this particular track. And these guys are really just creating a movement. And if you get a chance to be in La Jolla, it's at the Trilogy Sanctuary. Again, it's Saturday, March 26th from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Go to our website. You'll get all the information. I definitely highly recommend checking it out. Well, when you hear that sound, you know it is time for our quote of the week.
Count your blessings, not your problems. Count your blessings, not your problems.
You know, that's a great quote, and I think if we could stop and really listen to what that has to say of counting your blessings, not your problems, because obviously the problems are always going to be there, but our blessings are always there also. It's just so much harder sometimes to focus on those.
Well, and usually you can come up with more blessings than you have problems if you chose to list them.
Yes.
Because you don't usually just sit and analyze your blessings.
No, and I think what happens is problems are things that pop up and they break up the norm. But if you sit back and go, you know what? I have food to eat. I have a place to stay. I have a bed to sleep in. I have a computer to listen to this show to.
People who love me, yeah. A job, a variety of things. Once you really start calculating, I have everything I need around me.
Absolutely. And you will find a solution to your problem if you start focusing on all the positive things that you do have as opposed to the things that you don't have. So,
and let's face it, you can make a list a mile long of your problems if you really want to go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
But why bother? Let's go the other way and count your blessings, not your problems.
Amen. That being said, I'd like to play for you a positive song. This is a song called Best Case Scenario by Saint Tone. Check it out. Best case gonna blow your mind.
That best case scenario, I want to hear it full blast in stereo. I want to see my glass start to overflow with that best case scenario. And I just won't quit, and I just won't quit. Oh no, no. Give me that best case scenario. The rights out to the wrongs, where love has come to conquer all. With that best case scenario, 'cause I need that lift, I need that lift. Oh yeah. Show me, teach me, get the power to create. Mind, I find a way, remind me, teach me, get the power of it to choose, see my future in the groove, I am blessed, I am here, no time for fear, no time for fear, no fear.
I got the best case scenario flowing through my mind, yeah, the clock says I'm living, I could travel through time, 'cause I'm here. Here to remind that every little thought is here to design your destiny, who you choose to be, a king in the sky or a bum on the street. It's not up to me, yeah, it's only you. Win or lose, when you choose, create your own truth. Good vibing, aligning, a ship that lets the bright light in. What you say, you create, so think twice before you let your mind stray.
So once again, that was Best Case Scenario by Saint Tone. If you want to hear that song and a lot of other great songs, just check out www.sainttone.com. That's SAINTTONE.com.
So listen up. If you're on the market for a graphic designer, you know, someone who can create logos, websites, etc., along with radio ads and video, well, there's no need to look any further than ST Productions. It's your one-stop shop for all your graphic, audio, and video needs. ST Productions will get it done while saving you money and having fun. So keep them in mind, ST Productions, an audio, video, graphic design service.
ST Productions, call 813-416-4168. That's 813-416-4168. 4168.
I'm living here in a state of abundance. I'm counting blessings that I never saw before. Cause I'm the ruler of this kingdom I call me.
Positive affirmations wrapped in pop rock songs.
Give me that best case scenario.
It's motivational musician Saint Tone.
Glass of stereo.
Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sainttone.com.
Mama said we can always hug it out.
Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes. For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
So it's time for some good news from around the world.
Well, this first story comes out of Baltimore, Maryland, USA. And it's actually a story that went viral that was put on YouTube by a policeman. A policeman saw this young man, a young black man, crouching down, praying over a homeless man who was sound asleep on the sidewalk. And the police wasn't sure what was exactly going on. But as he stood there for a minute, he realized that this young boy, who was about 15 or 16 years old, was actually praying for this gentleman who was sleeping on the sidewalk. And the policeman is saying, you know, this is a 15 to 16 year old boy, almost missed his school bus, praying for this young man. And he knew that he was just doing it for nothing other than to pray for. He felt that it was worth sharing because teenagers at 15 and 16 years old, particularly young black people in the Baltimore area, apparently are getting a real bad rap for being thugs, being gang members, being out to do nothing but evil and wrong. And so this policeman was like, look at this, people. This proves everything wrong that the media continues to say about the young black children in the Baltimore area. So, as I love to show off teenagers doing great things, because there are a gazillion teenagers out there doing really great things, this is yet another example of a beautiful saying prayers over this guy. Well done. So this 39-year-old young lady, Tracy Warshall, was in line on her lunch break at a grocery store. And she noticed that there was an elderly gentleman behind her, and he was kind of panicking because he was patting himself down and realized that he forgot his wallet. So she paid for it. Now, his grocery bill wasn't very big. It was only $7. It was a bunch of fruit. And she happened to be wearing her shirt from her office, Piedmont Healthcare. It's a cancer center in Maryland. And 2 weeks later, out of the blue, somebody comes in the front door looking for her. This gentleman, in his gratitude for what she did and her kindness without even thinking twice about helping him out, donated $10,000 to the Piedmont Foundation where she works in her name to honor her for being such a good citizen.
That is awesome.
She was stunned. She's like, I never, ever expected that buying $7 worth of fruit for a stranger was going to garnish a $10,000 donation to research for the company I work for in my name. And I just really want to point out to you, you can do the slightest of things to help someone out and not have any idea what it will spontaneously create.
Well, the beautiful thing about it is that she did it unconsciously, and she spent $7 and she got a $10,000 return. Which is just amazing, because you never know who you're helping out. And sometimes you might be helping someone, and somewhere down the line, someone else helps you out. So
it's paying it forward.
It's always
absolutely
paying it forward. Yeah.
And the other thing that she said that I thought was really cool is she says, you never know who you're helping, who might be in a situation where they have cancer or they have something that makes their brain not think of all the things that they need, like their wallet, when they're going out the door. And that's why she didn't even think twice about it, because she's around cancer patients all the time. She's like, I know when you're sick, other things are on your mind besides the importance of bringing your wallet. And that's all she thought. She didn't think twice. So congratulations, Tracy. You are a fantastic humanitarian, and thank you for just reaching out and helping someone behind you.
Here are some events that may be happening in your area. Check out events calendar on humanitarianradio.com.
March 26th through the 31st, there's a meditation retreat in Springwater, New York. Also, March 27th to April 1st, immersion retreat, and that's in Cusco, Peru. That's a really cool event about immersing yourself into your own spiritual realm. So coming up in April from the 1st to the 7th, we have Seduction of Spirit. That's in Maui, Hawaii. We also, 15th, have Spiritual Directors International, and that's in San Diego, California. And April 8th to the 10th, we have the Shaman Apprentice Retreat in North Olmsted, Ohio. If you're looking for something to do and you want to plan ahead to a vacation, we have events all the way through May of 2016 on our events calendar. So feel free to join us. And if you know of something we should be posting, please let us know on humanitarianradio.com. And we are back, and we are so delighted to have on our show today, Miss Jessica Colatu. Hi, Jessica. How are you, darling?
Hi, Janie. I am very well, and what a wonderful way you pronounced my name. Extremely well.
It's a beautiful Greek name. Love it.
So, thank you.
Jessica, we were talking about earlier in the show, I was letting people know that you are a hypnotherapist, and you have a company named Hypnotherapy LA. You're out of the LA area. And I wanted just to give the audience who's never actually had any type of hypnotherapy experience a brief overview of what exactly that is.
Okay, well, first of all, there are a lot of misperceptions, misconceptions about hypnosis and hypnotherapy. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what we don't know, we often fear. So what I want people to know is that we get in and out of hypnosis every single day and even times a day. For example, if you've ever been driving on the freeway and thinking of your to-do list or listening to a song and you miss your exit, right? Has that ever happened to you?
Sure.
All the time.
Well, that is a light state of hypnosis. Another example is when you're watching TV, your favorite show or movie on TV, and then a commercial comes on, and then, you know, the show gets back on, and, you know, time goes on, and you just don't realize it. Then next time you look at your watch, and you're like, oh my God, 2 hours later, where did these 2 hours go?
Right.
That is, again, a light state of hypnosis. So we get in and out of hypnosis every single day, and these are just a few examples of the everyday things that happen with us. Mm-hmm. And we have, every single person has the ability to get themselves in and out of hypnosis and to reprogram their minds. All they need is someone to show them how to do it. So for simple things, they can do it. When they say it's a matter of willpower, sometimes it's not, the willpower is not just on the conscious level, it's on a deep subconscious level, because only in the subconscious is where all the emotions and feelings and memories are stored. So when you want to change a behavior, a belief, a pattern, you got to go in the subconscious. So now, when you hear some people wanting to make some changes, either like quit smoking or start going to the gym or, you know, whatever, things like that, when they can do it easily, it's not just a conscious decision, but it's also something that is in the subconscious. And if it's a simple thing, if it doesn't have like a lot of baggage attached to it, emotional baggage and traumas attached to it, then people can make these changes on their own. However, if there is a lot of deep emotional traumas and triggers, it's more difficult for people to do this on their own. And that's when they need the help of the skilled and certified professional hypnotist or hypnotherapist to help guide them.
And I was I was looking on your card, and there's actually quite a few different things that hypnotherapy can help. I'm going to just rattle off a few of them that give people an idea of how they can use your services to help them in any of these situations. So weight loss, stress management, pain management, relationship issues, fears and phobias, stop smoking, sports improvement. I found that one really interesting. ADD and ADHD, habits and addictions, anger, emotional problems, sleep problems, self-esteem issues, anxiety, confidence, motivation. So you're really touching on just about every single emotion that the brain could ever come up against in a lifetime.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you for mentioning that. You see, what happens with talk therapy, a lot of times, you know, people do let their emotions out, but, and they can get, you know, like a few tips on how to do certain things, how to change some things. However, what they really need is their emotions to be dealt with in a deeper level, which is the subconscious, because like I mentioned earlier, that's where all the memories are stored and all the traumas and everything that triggers. Each time something happens, it triggers a past event that has emotionally wounded. And so when I list all these things that hypnosis can help, it's not the things themselves, it's actually the method. I have advanced training in hypnosis, mm-hmm. and I'm also a certified instructor of self-hypnosis. So I teach my clients how to do self-hypnosis on their own, and that's a tool they can learn and have for the rest of their lives. Now,
wow.
It's not the deep, yeah, so it's not, the work they'll do with me is more of the deeper work when we concentrate on one particular issue and we zone everything else out and we zoom in and we focus on that one issue and everything that happened in their, you know, in their past and in their childhood up to the adulthood mm-hmm. that has created all, you know, all these emotions and the feelings. And then with when they learn how to do self-hypnosis, they can continue the healing on, you know, on their own. It's like a like an emotional and mental and spiritual cleanse, if you want to call it that way.
So let me ask you a quick question. I was going to ask a quick question on that. So hypothetically, if you were treating someone who has a phobia of spiders for whatever reason, let's say they have a phobia of spiders, and when they were 5 years old, their brother grabbed a spider and threw it in their shirt, and next thing you know it, they're, you know, freaking out.
Was this you? And did your brother do that to you?
He did a lot of things, but that's one of the things he didn't think on. Otherwise, I'd be seeing her. So let's say that was a phobia, and it was triggered by this one incident. Do you go back with that client and go, okay, let's find out where that trigger happened, and you do some regression therapy, and you find out that it was when they were five, and this is what happened. Once it's treated, a lot of times, do you find that that your patients have a knowledge of where the trigger happened, or is it sometimes that you have to go digging to find out what it was? Where it began. And once it is discovered, does it come to their conscious mind now, because they are under deep hypnosis? So once they come out of hypnosis and you say, hey, by the way, we made that discovery. It was when you were 5 years old and your brother threw that spider at you. Does it?
So you're stay asking, with do them? They yeah. wake up knowing?
Yeah, do they wake up
what
knowing
the conversation,
what the conversation
was,
that you just had? And do you find that you have to dig a lot of times, or do people actually know what that trigger was that caused that situation?
That's a great question, Tony. Thank you for asking that. Well, first of all, I want to say that hypnosis is not sleep. Like, if you were to pay to come to a hypnosis session so you can go to sleep, then that would be a really, you know, like a really expensive sleep you're getting. So
it's a good nap.
Yeah, exactly. So the one thing I want people to know, the way I do hypnosis with my clients is, first, before we do anything else, first we sit down together and we watch a short 10-minute video that explains to them the different functions of our mind, our conscious, our subconscious, our non-conscious minds. And so once, as I said, knowledge is power. So once they have an understanding of this, they ask me any questions that they have. And after I answer their questions, they feel more confident and comfortable. And they understand, I don't do hypnosis with them. Nobody goes under anything. Okay, you're sitting in a very nice, comfortable recliner, and we are talking and working together doing hypnosis.
Ah.
So, and then when a person, you know, like, it's more kind of like I'm the guide, and you will decide if you want to follow my suggestions. It's like if we're driving in a car together, and and you're the driver, okay? Because no one can make it. That's one thing I want people to understand with hypnosis. No one can make you do something that you don't want. when you hear people, you know, like on, when they do stage hypnosis for fun and all that stuff, and you hear people, you know, singing like Elvis all of a sudden, or, you know, squawking, speaking like a duck, it's because they have made a subconscious decision, and they said, hey, I'm cool, I feel safe, I'll go along with it.
Right.
If you don't feel safe inside you and you don't want to do it, you're not going to do it. And so that the same thing when we do hypnosis with the, you know, when I do hypnosis with a client, they know that you can, you have the power to decide, do you want to follow my instructions, my directions? So going back to the car example, you are the driver and I am sitting next to you. I'm the co-driver, the passenger. And so I am just saying, hey, let's turn right on this street, let's turn left on this street. And you have the power to say, hey, okay, I feel safe to turn, you know, to follow your instructions and turn right over here and left over here.
So it's not like you're out and completely gone and have no clue of what's happening in the room while you're there.
Not at all. Because if you're out and you're gone, then we cannot do any work together. So I don't work like that. No, you're not gone. You are not gone. And so, and also another thing for people to know is that when we do hypnosis together, you know, you close your eyes at some point, because we get into a very deep state of relaxation. So it's not sleep. You are aware and you're very much conscious, but you're just very relaxed so that we can zone in and focus on the issue and zone out all the other clutter, the mental, the emotional clutter, the everyday things. We zone everything else out completely so we can focus on that one issue. And so while at some point your eyes may close so that you can be even more relaxed, you're still aware. And you can, you know, you can open your eyes at any time and, you know, cough or move and change your position on the, you know, recliner chair or wherever the therapist is doing the work. You can get up and go to the bathroom and come back, and you're still in hypnosis.
Okay, very cool.
Right, and I have gone under a number of times, I'll agree with everything that you're saying, that it is, you're just in a very relaxed state, and you're having conversations, and then you can start going into different parts of your past to find things. I had a question as far as the athletes were concerned. You know, I know that a lot of different athletes, I know they did some training back in the Olympics where they had different athletes run the race in their mind, and their mind doesn't know the difference between reality and non-reality. So it's running the race. The mind is running the race, and they kept, you know, running the race in their mind and watching themselves win and watching themselves run faster. It says here on your card that you actually work with people with sports improvement. Can you touch a little bit on that? Because I like to see what people are actually thinking of doing, or what they actually...
How they're using it.
Because I know that how they can use it for smoking, and we'll talk about some examples of that. But I'd like to really touch on the sports improvement.
Okay, great. Absolutely. I can talk about that. Now, there's a second part to your previous question when you were talking about the issue, and I want to get to that as well, because I feel it's really important for people to understand.
Sure.
And then I will answer the question for the athletes. So going back, when you asked me, like, you know, can you get back to the age of 5, when a person was 5 years old or whenever it first started? Yes, I can. Now, having said that, what I want everyone to know and understand is that there are, let's say, 2 different types of hypnosis. I'm going to make it as simple as I possibly can. All right, so there's the hypnosis where it's more like on a surface level, where you're going to go and, you know, the hypnotist or hypnotherapist will, you know, help you get into that relaxed state. And then, you know, they read out like a wonderful script that is relevant to the issue that you've gone there to them for. And maybe they'll give you a CD to listen to afterwards when you go to sleep or whatever during the day. And you feel better for perhaps a few weeks, maybe a few months. And that's great. And for some people, that may work fine. However, if it has not touched the root of the issue, and therefore the results may or may not be permanent. The second type of hypnosis, which is the type that I do, the advanced hypnosis, is where I actually get to the root of the issue.
Right.
That means I get to the first time the event happened. And usually is somewhere in our childhood, and sometimes it's before the ages, it's between the ages of 3 and 5 years old, or maybe 10 years old. However, there have also been many cases where the issue started when they were 1 year old or 6 months old, or even in the mother's womb.
Wow. Okay.
I would have not thought that.
And yeah. Have you found that happening often? And if you do, it's really interesting because I've heard before that when you're in that state, it's just harder to find words to describe what they're feeling. Does that occur?
Exactly. Right. Yes. And I want to explain this because, like I said, I want people to understand, have a clear understanding. So that, you know, there's no myth, there's no mystery. It's just that we don't know. And that's why I'm passionate about sharing and educating people on how hypnosis works, so that, you know, there's no misperceptions and that they understand the power that we have to heal ourselves. We just need a little bit of guidance from, you know, for deeper issues and from someone who is qualified. So in the case of, you know, people, you know, experiencing like the first time the event ever happened, the initial, we call it initial sensitizing event, the ISE. So when we are, I'll give an example. So let's say someone is an embryo, let's say 6 months embryo in mom's womb. Okay. Mom and dad are driving in the car and going to dinner, and mom says, well, I want to have Chinese. And dad says, well, I want to have Italian. And they're like, no, I want Chinese. No, I want Italian. Now, the baby in the womb that mommy is carrying does not understand that they're not really actually having a fight. They don't hate each other. They're just having a conversation, but it's a little bit, you know, energetically charged, let's say.
Sure.
But the baby has emotions and feelings. Which, you know, it just doesn't have the words to say anything or to give or to understand the emotions. However, the baby receives the energetic frequency of those emotions, let's put it that way, that or the energy that is being created, which is basically there are two feelings, is either good or bad. That's it. Very simple.
Black and white.
For the embryo, mm-hmm, go ahead.
I said black and white. It's that black and white for them. It's either good or it's bad.
Exactly. There's only two feelings. You either feel good or you feel bad. And so what the baby understands, and the cells, our cells have memory, and the cellular memory stores is that, oh, this feels bad. Okay, so time moves on, and then the baby is born, and it's, let's say now it's a 3-month baby born, and, you know, they're it's in the house, and it's a little crib, and mom and dad are having a birthday party in the other room, and the baby's inside the baby's room in the crib, and, you know, Uncle Joe and Uncle Harry are talking politics or talking soccer or football, and the atmosphere is charged.
Okay.
So the baby in the other room gets that energy. Hold on, let me get a sip of water. 1 minute.
Sure. That's really interesting. It's really interesting to get such detail about what's actually going on at that time frame.
Well, and again, at that time, it sounds like, you know, again, it's either fear or love. So where are you coming? It's either good or bad, fear or love, and each person is either moving towards or away from something. So either they're moving towards love and they're moving away from fear. So the energy, I guess the point is that we're very all intuitive, and that intuitive self begins in the womb. It doesn't happen later on in life. We always have it. And like you said, our cells' memory can bring it up and reinforce these conditions as we get older.
Exactly. And I love how you put it, Tony. You're either, you know, it's either fear or love. You're either moving towards fear or moving towards love. I love how you put it. You couldn't have said it better. That's exactly it. So going back, the baby is 3 months old. Mom and dad are having a party. Uncle Joe and Uncle Harry are, you know, having this charged conversation. So the energy flows in the atmosphere. And the baby in the other room all of a sudden starts crying. And mom goes in the room and says, oh, well, okay, I already fed the baby, so it's not hungry. And, you know, I already changed the diaper, so what's going on? And she tries to, you know, hug the baby. The baby's still crying. Why is that? It's because now we have another event that has triggered what that baby had first felt as a 6-month embryo in the mom's womb.
Wow.
It is bad.
Wow. And so that's really amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You don't think of that. And so, you know?
Yeah, I know. That's why I said, you know, there's usually it can go so far back in our, in our infancy, even up to, embryo stages. And it's really difficult for people to remember. And even for talk therapists, and I do talk therapy. I'm a cognitive behavioral therapist. I do talk therapy. However, I see that it is not enough to give people substantial change and on that deeper level and make it permanent. And my teacher, my teacher Cal Banyan at the Cal Banyan Hypnosis Center, where I did my advanced studies, used to be a psychologist. And again, he's wrong. Talk therapy can only help so much. It is wonderful, and I have a lot of respect for it.
Right.
However, at some point, when things are not working, you got to go to the subconscious and reprogram it, because that's where all emotions are stored since the day, before we were born, since we were conceived.
Wow, that's just so amazing. I think about, my son is 30 years old now, and I think about different instances that have just come to my mind in you explaining all this, when I was pregnant and then when he was young and right up to he was 3 years old, that make me go, oh, I bet that's what was going on. Yeah, very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So going back to the event with the baby that is now 3 months old, what has happened is called a subsequent sensitizing event.
Okay.
So moving on now. Okay, so at some point, mom holds the baby, and after a while, the baby stops crying because it starts feeling the love and that it feels safe.
And her calm energy. Right.
Exactly. Fast forward. Okay, that child is in kindergarten now, 1 or 2 or 3 years old, and the teacher scolds the child, or maybe even scolds another child at the other end of the room. But this child now starts crying and starts feeling horrible, or maybe doesn't cry because he or she doesn't want other kids to see them, and holds it inside of them, right? But the feeling, again, is bad. And that's when now we have a third subsequent sensitizing event, which is something that the child saw happening to some other child with the teacher scolding for something not really, just scolding.
Yeah.
And this child, either it happens to the child or even if it happens to another child, but it triggers the emotion and the memory, not just on the conscious level, but also on the cellular memory, the memory of our cells.
Okay.
And that child starts now developing some kind of ailment, some kind of, it's like the beginning of some kind of issue. And fast forward, the child, let's say, becomes 19 years old and something happens at, or 17 years old, something happens at school, 19 years old, something happens, they're trying to find work and, they can't and they feel rejected or they feel bad when someone says something that reminds them of the tone of Uncle Larry when they were fighting, talking politics or football with their dad. So you see, so these things start building and building one thing on top of the other, like putting one rock on top of the other, on top of the other, on top of the other.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a whole bunch of triggers and subsequent sensitizing events. And eventually someone will come to my hypnosis couch or my hypnosis recliner who's like 40, 50, 60 years old. And we start, diving deep to find out where it all started.
Right. Have you ever seen where these subconscious thoughts that came from childhood all the way up through were responsible for causing sickness later in life? Does that make sense?
Ask the question again.
So if you had a child that grew up that had some kind of a trigger that hit him early in life or her, and then when they get to be about 20 years old, suddenly they're sick without explanation of what the sickness is. Could it be something that's triggering from a young age when they were sick and that comes back into their thought pattern and then their mind just tells them they're sick?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. And it could be, sometimes it could be, in the early childhood, and other times it could be something in early adulthood. But this is what we find, like I said, with the advanced hypnosis that I do, this is what I'm able to do. I can go straight to the root of the issue. So instead of you know, going from today all the way backwards,
yeah.
What I do, which is what helps people feel better from as of the first session and see a difference, what I do is I go straight to the root of the issue first. I remove that first building block, that negative building block, that big sensitizing, the initial sensitizing event.
Okay.
I remove that one first, and then it's much easier to remove all the other rocks
along the way.
Together. And so,
sure.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah, and so for some issues, for some people, an issue could have happened in early childhood. That's most usual. But for other people, a particular issue may have happened later on in their life. So that's what we are able to find out when we do this advanced hypnosis that I do. And another thing that I want to say to answering your question is in regards to, okay, so do the people that, and then does that manifest in sickness? Yes, and I'll tell you why. What the mind doesn't know and the mouth can't express, the body will manifest.
Ooh, well said. Very well said.
And I'm going to say this, yeah, and I'm going to say this one more time. Mm-hmm. What the mind doesn't know and the mouth can't express, the body will manifest.
That is a very deep statement, and I can totally understand and relate to exactly what you're saying, and it makes total sense. What I was thinking about was when you were talking and explaining how it works, I was thinking, I wonder if the majority of today's people have created sickness for themselves as a result of things that had they experienced in childhood or in the womb or wherever, because so many people in the world are sick today, particularly in America. So that's where my thought was coming from all of that. I was thinking, wow, I wonder if that has a lot to do with why so many people are sick in America these days.
Yes, and you're absolutely right. And that's because, like I said, when we're not aware of things on the conscious level,
mm-hmm.
They're still there in the subconscious. And sometimes, you know, I mean, and that's the most dangerous thing, right? When you are not aware of something.
Right.
And we just, you know, life is such that it is impossible for us to always be aware of things that trigger us and that may, you know, hurt us deeper later on in our lives. And this is why I say it's really important. And I want to stress out that especially for men over the age of 40, 50 years old, when they get into their andropause and they become even more sensitive, it is crucial for men to have either a therapist or someone to talk to that will be non-judgmental.
Okay.
Because when they get into their andropause, their hormones change, the testosterone goes down, and estrogen levels go up. Estrogen is connected with the hormone oxytocin, which is the bonding hormone, the hormone of love, and makes us more sensitive. So when men get, when their estrogen and oxytocin base, they become more sensitive. And if they don't have someone to love and cherish and also respect them, who doesn't know how to do this, then they get sick on us. And or they die on us.
Wow. Wow.
That's very interesting. Now, and it's interesting because I think what you're saying too, and going back to what Jenny had expressed about us here in America and just in the world in general, is that we live in a very stressful situations these days. And so it manifests a lot of sicknesses because your body isn't releasing this stress or this anxiety and not getting to the root of the matter, so now your body's manifesting illness or dis-ease.
Yeah, because your brain and your mouth don't know how to express it.
Right, right. And going back to men, typically not expressing themselves well and being taught from a young age to just hold it in or don't cry or whatever that is, I can understand that too, where they reach this certain age and now all of a sudden they're feeling things that they haven't felt before and they're like, well, I can't tell my buddy this. He's going to think, what's with you? You're getting emotional on me. So they have to have some
too.
Right. Well, and again, it's conditioning from if you were raised that way.
Exactly. And think of it this way. when you guys get into your andropause, you become more sensitive, and it's just like what we are when we are premenopausal. So women that are before their menopause are estrogen-based. That means we have more estrogen and not as much testosterone. However, this is a whole totally different, talk and story and interview. If you want, I'd be happy to talk on another, call on about this, because it's really great information. There, not that many people know about this and are able to share it. And I've been blessed and lucky enough to come across a lady named Dr. Pat Allen, who I studied with, and I've learned so much, and now I can, better help people. So,
yeah, and I think that's a great idea to have you come back and just, really talk about that whole aspect, because honestly, we've been doing this show for 3 years now, and we haven't had anybody bring that subject up.
Yeah, and I want to touch base on it real quick. I know I asked this question earlier, and there's so much information here, so I know that we can go on for hours, but we have a limited time as far as our interviews. The sports improvements.
Are you wanting to become an athlete?
No, it's just something that I want to know more about that, because it's something that is more unique than quitting smoking. I know with smoking, you could say every time you pick up a cigarette, you taste the smell of onions, and subconsciously you start feeling that, and now you're letting it go. But when it's sports improvements or other improvements in your life, going, hey, I want to be a better actor, I want to be a better musician, I want to be a better athlete, it's not like you're giving up a vice or something. And I'm going, how do you get yourself into that position of improvement or giving 100% every time? Or is it finding that one time that you were accelerating at 100% and now reliving that every time?
Yes. So going back to athletes, sometimes in some cases, we do go back to a particular sensitizing event that may have happened that perhaps harmed their self-esteem or something. Maybe, they lost at, one game that they thought they were really going to make it, and kind of it weakened them a little bit.
Right.
Other times, there's no issue like that. It's just they're already at a positive program state, and we just want to enhance it. So it is true, our mind cannot tell the difference between something that is real and is happening now and something that we tell it to do. And we have the power to program our mind. But when athletes do what you mentioned earlier, Tony, is basically they are starting to program their mind by repeating something over and over and over. It can be affirmations, it can be scenes, and you just repeat it over and over and over. And the faster you do it, at some point, the mind really gets confused with what's real and what's not, and it gets reprogrammed. And that's what kind of like a longer route of going about it when people do this on their own. And I fully support that. That's really cool, too, because it empowers them. However, there are some other athletes that want to enhance this. Mm-hmm. And those are the ones that want to come in and, work with me or a hypnotist. And we really, get the programs directly into the subconscious. And then they can continue to also do their own part of the work, the visualization and affirmation and everything. And like I have a little exercise that I like to have my clients do, or when I do a seminar or something. So if you, for example, if you guys are listening, if you have a pen, get a pen and a paper, and draw one circle with your pen,
okay,
and fill in that circle, and then draw a line from that circle, and at the end of that line, draw another circle and fill that circle in. Right?
Okay.
Now you draw in on top of that line, you draw in again another line from the beginning of the circle to the end of the circle. Draw another line on that line.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead and draw another line exactly on that line. And then go ahead and draw another line and another line from one end of the circle to the other and another line. Now, take an eraser and try to erase that line. And see how difficult it is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the more lines you draw on that line on top of the other, the more difficult it is to erase those lines.
Sure, because you're making an impression.
Exactly. And these lines represent our beliefs, all our patterns, our belief systems, our behaviors. So the more you tell yourself, or the more you believe, or the more you hear other people telling you, you're not good enough, you can't do this, no one in our family has done it, nobody in this industry has done it, then the more that belief gets imprinted in your subconscious. It goes from the conscious all the way down to the subconscious. And this is why it's difficult. And then you put on the emotional charge to that, plus the cellular memory,
sure.
And there you have it. That's why it's difficult to change. And sometimes it is not just a matter of willpower. So I want people to know that so that they don't feel defeated.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is not just a matter of willpower. It is a matter of things being so deep down in your subconscious that you really need a skilled professional, hypnotist or hypnotherapist, or someone who knows how to work with the subconscious.
Absolutely. And, you know, Jessica, we're mm-hmm. strong advocates in don't ever be afraid to get help for yourself, whether it's a little bit of help or a massive amount of help, whatever it is. Never be embarrassed about that. It shows strength when you go to someone like yourself to be able to get a situation under control. It doesn't show defeated. It shows your strength and your power because you are making an effort to empower yourself by fixing whatever an issue is.
Right. It's taking your power back and it's improving where you are or your condition. Absolutely.
So Jessica, thank you so very much for joining us today. And we absolutely want to have you come back and talk about some of these other things that I had a list of things to still chat with you about, but I didn't want to stop you because I really enjoyed the information you're sharing with us. I think it's phenomenal that you teach people how they can do the milder portions of this at home so that when they don't have the ability to be in front of you or with you to go deeper, that they can at least find themselves some comfort and some relief. And I also think it's really amazing that you were able to share the detail from in the womb so that people can really understand how far back some of these traumas might go and why you might need someone of your level to be able to pull those types of things out of you.
Right, and why they wouldn't know, like, wow, I don't know why I'm afraid of spiders or snakes. And then you realize that maybe when your mom was pregnant, she saw a snake and you felt that. Let people know, it's hypnotherapyla.com. Is that the best way for people to get a hold of you if they want to book a session or if they want to learn more about what's going on?
Yes. You can reach me through my website, which is www.hypnotherapyla.com. And you can also reach me through my email, which is Jess, and that's spelled J-E as in Edward, double S as in Sam, J-E-S-S, at hypnotherapyla.com.
Excellent.
And I will be happy to answer any questions that you may have or anyone may have. I love answering questions and I love helping people. So I'd love to hear from you.
Excellent. Let me tell you, you're obviously very easy to talk to and you're so easy to listen to. I recommend people highly. If you have any concern or comment or anything that you need clarification on as to whether this is a route for you, I think you guys all listening know that you can reach out and talk to her. Jessica, thank you so much, darling, and we look forward to having you on the show again real soon, and we'll talk about more fun stuff.
Thank you, too. I would love to be back, too.
Excellent. Thanks, sweetie.
So every week we like to dedicate a song to our guests, and this week I chose a song, King of Me, because I feel that Jessica's out there empowering people to be the king or queen of themselves, to take control of their lives, and really just move forward. So this is Saint Tone, King of Me. This kingdom.
Once again, that was King of Me by Saint Tone. You could check out that song and a lot of other positive music at www.sainttone.com. That's SAINTTONE.com.
You know, if you're looking for a little spark on your any day, you can always go back to humanitarianradio.com and check out any of our previous shows. We do keep them on there so that we can inspire you to find some good news for your soul. Do something great for someone else in your world.
Yeah, and if you know of a story or if you know of someone that should be on our show, by all means, connect with us on Facebook at Humanitarian Radio or go to our website, humanitarianradio.com, and reach out to us. Let us know any good news that you have out there that you want to share with the world.
Make it a good week.
We'll see you next time. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.